this is about ribis derech knas, ribis via a fine. And we're going to deal with this on a semi-superficial level in the sense that we're going to see the substance of the issue. There'll be a couple of times where I'm just going to say, this is beyond what we can get into and may give you a reference to it. There are some practical cases that theoretically I would have loved to have gotten to, but I think what we see this week will give us enough to be able to work with those and to understand how to apply them. We have to start out with a passage, a Mishnah really, in Bava Metzia and a Gemara in Bava Basra, which are the ones that give us the jumping off point. But just to make sure that we understand what we're talking about, I said it in the email when I sent out the source sheet. What we mean by this is the possibility that instead of saying, I want to borrow money, I want to borrow $10,000 and pay you back $11,000 for the right to hold your money for a year, what I want to say to you is, I'm borrowing $10,000 from you for a year, or maybe even better, for 364 days, right? And in the event that I don't pay you by day 364, then I will owe you a fine of an additional $1,000 the moment that I miss the deadline. So now I'm going to have to give you $11,000 instead. And the question is, can you get away with that? Recognizing that, that actually opens the door to even more fun, in which I could say, I am borrowing money from you for a week. I'm borrowing $10,000. In the event that I haven't paid you by the end of the week, I will now owe you $10,000 plus a $100 fine. And then at the end of the second week, if I still haven't paid you back, $10,200. And at the end of the third week, $10,300. And I can mimic the effects of ribis as long as I call it a fine. So the question is that possible? Does that actually work within halacha, this idea of late payment penalties created artificially to avoid the name of ribis?
Fines are okay?
Well, that's part of the question.
Yeah.
So take a look, please, on your sheet. It's source Aleph. Mishnah from Samachay Mudbeis. Hilvo al Sadeyu. You lend somebody money against his field. The field is collateral. Va'amar lo. And he says to him, the lender says to the borrower, Im iata nosen li mikanvad shaloshanim. If you don't pay me back within 3 years, harehi shali, I get to keep the field. Harehi shalo. That works. So Yaron lends money to Jerry and says, I'm going to take your field as payment of it if you don't pay me back in 3 years. That works. What's added here, though, that's really important to understand, is that this is true even if the field is worth more than the loan. Because otherwise, what's your question? Anybody can make an agreement like that. But the point is, if Yaron lent to Jerry $1,000 and the field is worth $100,000, doesn't matter. Yaron is able to take it. And not only that, not only harehi shelo, which as we'll see later is a little bit ambiguous in its meaning, v'kach haya baitus ben zonin osa al pi chachamim. There's a fellow named Baitus ben Zonin who used to engage in such loans. Later we'll see he may have been doing it as a borrower rather than as a lender, although the language here sounds like he's the lender. But he used to do this, and the Chacham said, go for it. So it's very clear, this is a lechatchila thing that you can do. That's essentially the penalty case, right? Why is that any different from what we just outlined? It's not.
Does he get $1,000 too?
He gets everything. Oh, you mean in that case? No, that's the payment of the debt. That's it. All, you know, one of the questions that comes up in dealing with this, the Taras Emes, Rav Aaron Sasson, asked the question, why isn't this Tzadecha Beribis? Right? We had Shiurim on Tzadecha Beribis, in which I talked about the idea that in the event that I borrow money from somebody, and there's a condition which, if we go down the path of that condition, then I will end up paying ribis. But on the other end, it did not happen that way. So, for example, I borrow money from Jerry, and I say to him, I'm sorry, Jerry says to me, if you decide to sell the field someday that you're using as collateral, I want you to sell it to me. So I may never sell the field, in which case there's no ribis.
But here there is a specific
right,
category.
Correct. But the question is, could you say, this is like tzadecha beribis, which we said is, oh, sir, you're not allowed to engage in tzadecha beribis. Sorry?
It's not tzadecha beribis. Tzadecha beribis usually is dependent on someone else.
No, it depends on...
I can pay or not.
Well, is it a Louis B? Is it a Louis Belove?
No, the case is that we saw in tzadecha beribis, usually, it's not if I can pay their loan back or not.
Reinu gamze v'gamze. Reinu kishetalui b'achirim, v'reinu gam kishetalui b'i. Aval, ha'tshuva shel ha'tarat emet, hevedi etze b'makor bet. The Tarat Emet's answer is, this is not going to be a problem. I'm saying it outside. For many of the sources, I'm going to do it outside, but I wanted you to have it available so that you'd be able to look at it. He says the reason why it's not Tzarechet Beribis is because fundamentally no time is extended here. In other words, it's not an issue of certainty or uncertainty. There's no ribis here because the time of the loan is not extended. And that's going to be a very important point altogether in defining the difference between ribis and penalty. In other words, in a ribis case, I am able to hold your money longer because I am paying you extra. Right? Agar naterlei. The payment for waiting. Payment for not demanding payment right away. Right? That's what ribis is. In the penalty case, it doesn't buy an extension of time. It's simply that. If you don't pay by July 1st, then you owe this money. That's all there is. So that, he says, is why it's not tzarechet beribis. It's tzarechet, but it's not ribis. That's the argument. Jerry's shaking his head.
This all stems from a loan.
Yes.
My thought of a knas, which I don't know nothing specific, but it was, that was a fine for doing X, Y. It didn't originate from a loan. Here, whatever you're doing here, it's in the context of the loan, because I don't get it.
But it's not. Meaning it is. It's a penalty for late payment.
No, it's...
But it is.
I mean, sure, it's stemming from a loan.
Correct. It doesn't have to. We're going to get to other cases.
Yeah, if they're not stemming from a loan, then it's a knas.
No, but Jerry, what I'm saying is the knas, I understand what you're asking. The distinction I'm trying to draw is that we don't care whether the debt came from a loan or came from some other financially tied activity. What we care about is where the excess is coming from. And what we're saying is, if the excess is rental fee for your money, we have a problem. If the excess is penalty because you didn't pay on time, then apparently it is okay. You follow?
I don't...
That's what we're saying. It's not about what the original transaction was.
Saying you will, because you borrowed my money, you will pay extra. And rather than that, you don't have to pay extra. It's just if you don't pay on time. Right? There's a reason that mortgages have penalty fees that you can't buy out early because they want the interest. But a penalty is they want you to pay on time. If you don't pay on time,
correct.
So then, right, we're disincentivizing late payment.
Oh, so I got news for you. In business, you even have a penalty for paying earlier.
The point is,
not
right.
And later.
Right, but not that that's exactly the point.
We're getting distracted by a philosophical point, which I don't think actually ties into the... No, because I don't think it ties into the issue. Fundamentally, I don't care how the debt was created. The debt could have been created, and we are going to care later on. But right now, I don't care how the debt is created. The key to me is that the excess payment is not rental of your money. The excess payment is a punishment to me, which does not earn me the right to hold your money any longer. That's the key. All other discussions about how the money came to be owed, hold off on. We will get there, right. God willing.
But you have that in credit cards because you have to pay the interest, but if you don't pay a certain amount, you get a penalty also, or if you don't pay.
You mean that there's interest and penalty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. We're equal opportunity. Don't worry.
No, but that's what I'm saying. There is a distinction.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to
do. So that's the But that's the first case. The second case is the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Mishnah there on Kuf Samaches in Source Gimel. Mishnah gives you the following case. Misha para mitzas chovo v'hishlish es shtaro. Okay? Again, Jerry lent me money. I paid off part of the debt. And now I have my original document. So this is a general issue. If I pay off part of the debt, so I don't want to give you back the document, right? Because if I give you back the document saying I owe you everything, you're going to use it to claim everything from me. But I don't want to pay for writing a brand new document either, because that's expensive. I have to hire a sofer. So what do? I give the document to Jeffrey, and I say, Jeffrey, please hold on to this as a third party. Okay, you're a responsible person. V'amar lo, but I say to Jeffrey, im lo eten, or to you, really, Jerry, im lo eten l'cha mikan v'ad yom ploni, ten lo shtaro. Oh, so I guess it really is. I'm speaking to both of you. I say, if I don't pay back the rest of the debt on time, then you can actually get the full document back, and you'll be able to claim the entire debt. So I had borrowed $100,000. I paid off $20,000. Really, I only owe Jerry $80,000. However, what I say is, if I don't pay you back by the due date, you get the full document back, and now you'll be able to collect $100,000 from me. Higiyas man velo nasan. If the time comes and I haven't actually paid back the remaining $20,000, Rabbi Yossi omer yitain. Rabbi Yossi says that's the way it works. Jerry gets the full document back, and he can claim $100,000. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yitain. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So the Gemara asks, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? It has nothing to do with ribbis. B'maikamiflagi, what is their debate? Rabbi Yossi savar asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yossi says, this is an asmachta, but it still works. What we mean by asmachta is, anytime I agree to a penalty, there's a sense that I never really expected to owe that money. And since I never really expected to owe that money, I never expected to trigger whatever condition would create the penalty, I didn't really agree to it. So in other words, in the absurd case, I say to somebody, I want to borrow $1,000 from you. He says, you never pay back, and you never pay back on time. I say to him, listen, if you will lend me $1,000 until July 1, if I'm late, I'll give you $1,000,000. So I don't expect to ever trigger that. Obviously, what I'm doing is I'm stating how committed I am to this. That's called asmachta. So that's what the issue is here. I paid back $20,000. I have no interest, so to speak, in paying you back $120,000 in the end. I expect to pay on time. It's an asmachta. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't care. It's binding. That's the way it works. Rabbi Yehuda savar asmachta lo kanya. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, the asmachta is ineffective. But what you notice is neither of them made a comment about ribbis. Right? Rabbi Yossi is willing to go along with this, even though Jerry will end up collecting $120,000 on a loan of $100,000. So that's your second case that seems to support the idea that where it's a penalty, we're good. The Vilna Gaon in Bir Agrada Yeredeya Kuf Ayin Zayin Lamed Hey notes another source for this idea. It's a Mishnah in Ksuvos. Mishnah Ksuba source Dalit. Paska lahachnis lo elef dinar, hu posei kenegan chamisha asar mana. A woman brings property into the marriage. She says she's going to bring in property worth 1,000 dinar, and the deal is that in the event that they get divorced, or in the event that he dies first, she is going to get that back from the estate. He says, you know what? I am actually going to commit to giving you back 1,500 dinar. She brought in 1,000. It is essentially lent to him for the period of the marriage. And in the event that he divorces her, she gets 1,500 back. No one seems to have a ribbis problem here. 1,000 went one way, 1,500 goes the other way. How do you deal with that? So the Mordechai there in Ksuvos explains in source, hey, mi lo avi ribbis, this isn't ribbis, kevin shim haya megarish miyad haya tzarech hosif shlish, because even if he divorced her the next day, or that day, he would have to add to make it 1,500. In other words, he's not buying extra time with this payment. It's a penalty payment. In this case, penalty for divorcing her, or penalty for dying. Avokol adam shemalva beribis, lo haya nosein, I added the words in brackets, halo beribis, elam ken yachil lo hazman, babi agar naterle. In a ribis case, what happens is the borrower only gives extra money in order to get extra time. He's not doing it for any other purpose. That's the argument of the Mordechai. The truth is, the Tosfos Yom Tov answers that this is an entirely different discussion because it's not a halva. When a woman brings property into the marriage, it's not lent to the husband, as proved from the fact that if she dies first, he inherits the assets. Right? Normally, if somebody lends somebody else money and then they die, their estate is owed the money. The money isn't inherited by the borrower. So this is clearly not really a halva in the first place. Whether that really satisfies us, though, is another story, because fundamentally, who cares? The money can end up there, as I just said to Jerry before, in any number of ways and have a ribbis problem. So the fact that it's not a halva means that it may be reduced to a derabanan.
Or you see that maybe that is important.
Right. Source. Correct, which we're going to come back to. Okay. So, What is the logic in permitting this? So I've already said it. I've already spoiled this. But nonetheless, the Rashba writes about this in a few different places. In Chelek Aleph, Tav Reish Nun Aleph, in his comments to the Gemara here, as well as in the Tshuvos that are Miuchasos to the Ramban, Reish Chaf Aleph, which is where I'm going to quote right now. He quotes the Rimagash. In the source above. Sheila, question. B'makomos elu, where we live, hurgulu lichtov b'shtari halvos, they write in their loan documents, in law for achad zman ploni etem chakaf agach dinar, if I don't pay you by such and such a date, I will give you such and such an amount over and above. Im yesh b'zeh mishum ribis o avak ribis o lo. What's the story? Good, bad? Tshuva. Mipashta shal mishna seinu yeirosh she'ein kan mishum ribis klal. We get from the Mishnah that there's no ribis, and he quotes you the Mishnah in Bava Basra, right, that we already read in Source Gimel, and he says v'taima demilsa te'ein ribis ela davar hamisrabe mishum agar natarli. Ribis is only if you get extra time because you're holding the money longer. V'ze einu kein, and this case is not like that. She'ilu pro bizmano lo yamar b'lo klum. If you paid on time, there would be no increase. And if you don't pay him on time, but Mishlam Zmano, Mamush, sorry, if you don't pay at the right time, Chayav Litelo, Ba'osa Sham, Mamush, Karen Uknas, then you have to pay that amount right now. Vedo Mamtilo ala Karen Klal, it's not giving you an extended time to hold the money. Vimkin, Lagat Agarnatali Klal. So therefore, there is no issue of paying for time. From our Mishnah as well about Helvah al-Sadayu. Yeah.
Again, not only it works, not only that it starts source with the Helvah, but it's really time centered.
Yes.
It's kicked in by time.
Yes. But it's not buying time. In other words, let's imagine two universes. Okay? In universe number one, there is no penalty. My due date of July 1st comes and goes. Right? What are you going to do? You're going to go to Beis Din and say he has to pay. And Beis Din is going to collect collateral from me, or it's going to demand payment, or do whatever it's going to do in order to get me to pay. And that's it. Universe number two, there is a knas. My loan comes due on July 1st. I don't pay you. So you're going to go to Beis Din, and Beis Din is going to do the same exact things to get me to pay. The only difference is that they're also going to claim from me this added amount. But it doesn't change anything. It doesn't give me any added rights. It doesn't allow me to hold the money longer. You don't have any mercy on me because of the penalty. All it is a separate payment that kicked in that clearly I agreed to because otherwise you wouldn't have lent me the money. So what we see here from this Ribbon Megash that the Rashba quotes is that everything we've said until now is valid lahalacha. You could actually do this. And in fact, there are Rishonim who permit on this basis. We'll see some Tshuvos that rely on this as we go through this. However, here's an interesting question. Is this meant to work when you're doing it as a joke? When I say a joke, I don't mean like you're not really going to pay the penalty. You are. When you're doing this as an intentional way to get around ribis, is this okay? In other words, I want to lend $100,000 to somebody and I want to get back $120,000. And the way I'm going to do it is a $20,000 penalty, and the borrower knows it and the lender knows it and they wink at each other. Is that really valid?
And I don't think they need the wink. We're doing an internal wink.
Yeah. So I'm exaggerating.
No, but I'm saying to me this whole thing is an internal
lie. You can have cases where it's serious.
Yeah.
You want the
totally.
Money back on time.
Yeah. You could have a case where it's serious. So the Ginas Varadim says absolutely not. Only valid if the Knas is a fine to induce on time payment. And Nesiva Shalom quotes him in Kufayin Zayin Yud Dalet Gimel, and he quotes a few others, but I brought the Ginas Varadim here in Sor Zayin. He says, Mikol Makom Nirolomer. Dalkar Chlo Hekel HaRashba. And he really means the Ribbon Megash. Ela kisheinanu yodin tivo shel masa. He says the only time you can do this is where we, the Beis Din, don't know what they're really doing here. You could say, as Rabbi Zirin just suggested, that the goal is simply to get the guy to pay on time. There's no clearer. But they might be playing a trick. But he says, that's not the way we do things today. We see it. The halva Right? They sit down and they work out between them what the amount of ribbis is going to be. This one says, I want you to pay me 20 per 100, right? 20%. Over the for the year, v'zemo de biyud l'meil l'shana, and the other one says I'll only do 10%. V'achashin mispashim after they're done with their negotiation, b'ayim etzel asofer, they come to the scribe shi'chdu l'mashtar ratznayim shel ribis shebeinayim. V'asofer de dayik, and the sofer who knows what he's doing, yuatzam l'fi darko v'kosev ashtar al derech knas, and he goes on like there's a whole thing here, but you don't need me to write it out for you. You understand? Everyone is playing a game. He says that doesn't work. Azoy shtei, that's the ginas v'radim. However, the Rashba disagrees.
If it's an unreasonable time, he said, if you don't pay me back in the next 10 minutes,
yeah.
I mean, that's obviously ribbis.
But the Guinness Rodham says it won't work. He says, you can't do this explicitly. However, the Rashba says, no, this is specifically talking about where they're playing the game. Source Ches, this is another of his chuvos in which he deals with this. Even though there is room to dispute this, so it appears, and he says, you would not teach people to do this. I added the word lechatchila. And his reason for that we're going to come back to. The kol shekein kan shadas machraz shemiskabim laharamas ribis. And certainly here, where logically you know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to do ribis and just not get caught. That's what they're trying to do. So the Rashba believes that that's what's going on, and that everybody knows that that's what's going on, and that in fact this is valid. Although lechatchila he doesn't want to tell people to do it for a reason that we're going to come back to. But he says this is entirely open what they're playing at here. So before we get into why we don't like this, we have to ask the question, what exactly does Derech Knas look like? So the Bris Yehuda writes in Tess, you see it there, Perek Dalet Arav Beis, Miu Efshar Sheyesh Li Zaher, Shalol Hazgir Inyan Ribis V'Revach. It's a good policy when you're writing up these documents, talking to the sofer, the dayik, don't use the word ribis in the document, and don't say anything about profit for the lender. On the other hand, you don't have to use the word penalty. It's not as though you don't use the word penalty, it's a magic word, and now it's not that he's not particularly worried about.
I could just tell you in mortgages that when they have, if you pay earlier, and sometimes you have to pay a month's penalty.
Right.
They don't like that.
Yeah.
They put in a month's bonus.
Why?
Because you're not allowed to have a penalty.
Oh, so we'll just call it a bonus.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the difference between this and the reason why this is not semantic. The reason why this is not semantic is because it really doesn't buy you extra time. Substantively, it doesn't. The fact that you paid the penalty doesn't stop Basedin from going into your property and taking your stuff. That's why this is, there is a substantive difference. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, what you're really doing, everybody agrees, is
you pay the penalty, then you have extra time.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't get extra time. They can walk into your house, they can walk into your yard.
You pay the penalty.
Correct.
And even if you're ready to pay
it off.
Yes.
Even if you're ready to pay it off, you have to pay the penalty.
Where this becomes a joke is because the lender and the borrower are in on it. And so the lender is not going to go into your property to take it because he's very happy earning penalties, right, which are known in another universe as interest. Yes, exactly. So the only thing that you do have to watch out for in the language is the language that the Shulchan Aruch uses in Source Yud. We're going to come back to Yud a few times. But this is the initial presentation in Shulchan Aruch of this case. It's Yerodea Kuf Ayin Zayin Yud Dalet. Ha'omer lachavero. Guy says to somebody else, Im lo afrach alizman ploni, harini chayev lachame achshav ulizman ha'ikuv kach dinarin. If I don't pay you by such and such a date, I owe you from now. Okay? To the point where I have delayed such and such a sum of dinar, parentheses, Yosim Mashahulfahu, over and above whatever the loan was. That's what I would come back to. And the Shulchan Aruch says that's Haramas Ribis. We're going to come back to that last part. But right now, what I wanted to show you is that word, Me'achshav. The debt of the fine, the penalty, is not triggered later. It's actually from now.
Today.
Right, from today. So, yeah.
That's the question. Dealing like only repeating tzadechad, this is the problem.
No, that has nothing to do with tzadechad ribit anymore. Tzadechad ribit was the question of the Torah Temet.
No.
We got rid of it.
I don't need to give more time to consider this is relief. So if it was a loan for 100 shekel,
yeah,
and I get 120,
okay,
call it like,
okay,
I don't know.
חכה, סבלנות בזה. Hang on. He's right. Just wait. But first, in terms of this me'achshav, there are two reasons to require me'achshav. The first reason is the Shulchan Aruch Harav notes this in Memvav because of our point about asmachta. Right? Meaning, if somebody agrees, right? Again, Jerry's going to lend me $1,000 because I said to him, and I'll owe you $1,000,000 if I don't pay you on time. One of the ways in which asmachta can become binding, even if everybody knows that I wasn't serious, is if I said it will be owed from now. That demonstrates greater seriousness and commitment. The word me'achshav is meant to solve that problem.
It also goes back to this idea that sources of law clearly.
Why?
Because at that time, you didn't know. This didn't happen yet.
Yeah.
So if you're going back, really, the that's permission is because at a later time, you didn't pay, right? But if you're saying you're going back to the original, so you're, there's a greater nexus to the halvah aspect, to me, anyway.
Let me wait until we get to the, right, to the other possibilities. So I had to note this here because it just blew my mind enough that I sat down and rewrote this so that you'd have it on the source sheet. In general, me'achshav, according to Shulchan Harav, solves the problem of asmachta. However, the Beis David writes the funniest thing here, and I wish I could figure out which Beis David this was, because if I could, I would go find it in the original and see, did he really mean this? But I don't know. There are a lot of Beis Davids out there, and none of the ones that I found fit this. But the Bris Yehuda quotes it. Beis David Simon Sadi Beis Kasev Epshitus Divarivis Derachnas Lo Shayach Din Asmachta. He says, of course there's no issue of asmachta involved. Why? Shebedinei asmachta ein bedaz hamischayev liten klum. The whole point of an asmachta is I never intended to pay you that. I said $1,000,000 as a joke, not a joke, but to show I was serious about the loan in general. Avakan, but here, adraba, halova rotza l'shalim haknas, kedesh yaviach hazman. Here I do want to pay the knas, so that you will give me more time. Hello. Of course I intend to pay it. And don't tell me that this is going to be a kavanasa l'ribis issue then, and the Bris Yehuda goes off to try to justify this. I think that what the Beis David means, it was just too funny when I read this, but I think what the Beis David means is like what we said in the Rashba above. The whole institution in our Mishnah is indeed where ribis is intended. And everybody knows that the game is being played. However, me'achshav may also be necessary in order to avoid ribis, not only about the asmachta issue, but also to avoid ribis. The Vilna Gaon makes that point. He says, if you make it me'achshav, you avoid the appearance of ribis. I gave it to you in Yud Beis. I'm not going to go through it because most of it is just references. The key is really the end. The Kach Katzav Harash, Delo Mechzik Ribis, Kemen Shem Machzir Lomos. It doesn't look like ribis because it's money that was actually owed from the very beginning. If we originate the loan today, today's July 7th, right? We originate the loan on July 7th to be due in February. In February, because I didn't pay you on February 1, I now owe you a separate amount of money going all the way back to July 7th. So because it's me'achshav to now, that makes it better.
But isn't that agronostrally? I mean, so now it's time dependent.
No, it's not. It's still a knas.
But
it's still a knas. Meaning this is the period of the loan.
Paying the next 3 minutes, it's still going to be
correct. Correct, 100%. I owe the knas the moment I am late, and it does not buy me a moment's extra time. And it is an immediate responsibility. The Shulchan Aruch Harav also thinks that it's an attempt to mitigate ribis. But that's the idea. It's already owed from the beginning, and therefore it doesn't look like ribis, although the Shulchan Aruch Harav still doesn't like it. He still says, I'm not into this. I brought it for you in Yud Gimel. Okay, so now we have to discuss three reasons why this is a really bad halachic idea. The three reasons not to support this leniency. The first argument that against this goes back to Yaron's point. And this is, at the end of the day, he is, or after the end of the day, because it's knas, but he is receiving, the lender, the malve, is receiving more money than he lent out. We don't like that idea. And the Rashba, in the Tshuvas and Miuchasos to the Ramban, does say this at one point. If you take a look at Source Yadalit, Aser Lasos Kein Lechatchila. Even though the Mishnah said it, yet nonetheless, Aser Lasos Kein Lechatchila, Dilogar, Ribis Miucheres. It's no less than Ribis Miucheres, right? In a Ribis Miucheres case, too bad Adam isn't here today, because that was a discussion we had a while back. But whether we call it Ribis Miucheres or Ribis Bishas Peron doesn't make a difference for our purposes. The point is, what happens in a Ribis Miucheres case? I borrowed $1,000 from Jerry. There was no Ribis, no stipulation, no nothing. On the day when it's due, I come back to Jerry and I say, here's $1,000 and you've been such a great guy. Here's a watch. Or whatever it is. Right? It wasn't stipulated at the original time. So he says, this is no better or no worse, depending on how you look at it, than Ribis Miucheres. Sha'af b'she'en kan agar natarli, granted that there is no extension of time, as Rabbi Ziering pointed out, kevin sha'ana ba'alo machmas halva aso asur. Nonetheless, he is getting an extra benefit because he lent me money. We don't like that. He says, avak ribis gomor nami lo havi. It's not avak ribis either exactly here, because it doesn't come with extra time. Elagara mine, it's less than that. Uka ribis miucheres, hiva kil mine. It's like ribis miucheres. It is more kal than it, although I'm not sure if it is avak ribis or ribis miucheres. But that's the Rashba's...
Why not to do it?
Right. That's the Rashba's first objection. The Taurus MS says it can't be Ribis Miucheres. Can't be. And really, he's going back with your point. In Source Desvah, the Taurus MS, of Aaron Sasson, says, V'yeroedim ein tam lesor mitam haktitza, ein makom lesor mitam Ribis Miucheres. He says, if it's not Ribis Kitsutza, right, because you did set it up at the day when you extended the loan. It's not a gift that I gave on my own at the end. It was actually designated from the beginning. So he says, if you're not willing to call it Ribis Kitsutza, because there's no extension of time, then it's not Ribis Miucheres either. Diera de lo dami le Ribis Miucheres. It's not like Ribis Miucheres. The time of the Ribis Miucheres aser havi mishum de omer lo bishvil ma osecha shayu betelos etzli. The reason we don't like the gift at the end is because he says, here, this is because you left your money with me. Uchadasani b'masisim behed yeshile perek, etc. Diera de ein tam les or kishanose lo ha Ribis Miucheres. I don't know why he has apostrophes at the end of it. There's no reason to prohibit if you give Ribis Miucheres without making that statement. Without saying it's because the money was left with him. In other words, his point is, you can't call this Ribis Miucheres. It's not Miuchar. You stipulated it from the very beginning. Either this is Ribis Kitsutza, or it's garnished. You can't have it both ways. That's the argument of the Taurus Hamas. But that would be the first objection, was Yaron's point. At the end of the day, he's getting more money than he lent out. That I don't care, because it wasn't for an extension of time. It wasn't agar natarlei. Even Ribis Miucheres is agar natarlei in some sense. That's what he thinks. The second argument is the one that the Rashba really seems to put his shoulders into, that he really seems to care about. And that is that this is Hara Masribis. We've already seen the reference in the Shulchan Aruch. This is a game. The lender gets extra money, and we just say, we're not calling it Ribis, we're calling it penalty, bonus, whatever word you want to put on it. That seems to be the view of the Rashba who we just quoted. Who we quoted earlier, when he called it Ribis Miucheres. It's an arrangement which gives more money to the lender than he lent out. It's like, the case that they compare it to is Rav Safra, right? Rav Safra's discussion about the case in which somebody comes to me and says he wants to borrow money. He wants to borrow $100. I tell him, I don't have $100. I have grain that's worth $100, and so I'm only going to lend you the grain. Then I'm going to buy back the grain from you for $90. Okay? I'm borrowing back I'm buying back the grain. It's $100 grain. I'm buying it from you for $90. And then at the end of the period of the loan, you're going to pay me back $100 because I lent you $100 worth of grain. So in such a case, Rav Safra says, it was Samach Beis and Beis, that's called, we're going to see it in the Shulchan Aruch at the end, I think, but that's called Ha'aramas Ribis. It's an obvious trick. And the Rashba actually uses another term, in addition to Ha'aramas Ribis, in Source Tes Zayin. This is from his Chidushim on our Gemara. For some reason, it's on Samach Vav Amad Aleph. Others also on this Gemara have their comments printed on Samach Vav Amad Aleph. Umikomakom efshu she'en ha'davar mutter l'chatchila la'asos kein. He says, you can't do that. It's possible to argue, you can't really do this l'chatchila. Even though the Mishnah sounded like it. His line about the ribis miucheres, it's no worse than or no less than ribis miucheres we give at the end. Anytime you're getting back more than you gave, right? There's that line again. Aser mishum maris ha'ayin. He doesn't mean maris ha'ayin. He means aramas ribis, but it's a funny phrase.
What is mechaz?
No, that's the issue. It's what it looks like. And that is indeed the view of the Shulchan Aruch. Now you understand what we read in the Shulchan Aruch back in Source Yud, when he said, if you say this, asar mipnei ha'aramas ribis, that's what he is talking, that's what he was talking about. Now,
I think he does mean maris
ha'ayin. It's not really maris ha'ayin, because you really are doing something wrong. It's not maris ayin if you're really doing something wrong.
But according to these other Rishon that say it's okay and everything, but this breaker, you got people saying this looks like ribis.
Okay, maybe, but I don't think that's what he means. I don't think, I hear you, but I don't
think. That's reason to usher it, though, because people are going to see this and think, well, this is okay.
Yeah, correct. I definitely hear the argument. Note, though, that if you can really knock it down to haramas ribis, there are leniencies. As we're going to see, there are leniencies for Ha'aramas Ribis. The Bris Yehuda has a whole parak ches, which includes this. But there's more too. We're going to see and hear about leniencies that result from calling it Ha'aramas Ribis. Now, the Chasam Sofer has an interesting point, which somebody tried to apply here. I'm not sure they applied it correctly, but nonetheless, the Chasam Sofer distinguishes between where the lender is the one who stipulates this, and where the borrower is the one who stipulates this. He goes back to the language in our Mishnah, and the language in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, that's all where, and this is where the point is about Baitus Ben Zonin being the borrower. He says, did I not bring it on here? Yeah, I don't think I brought it on here, because his point was just the Esmachta point. No, I did bring it. Source Yitzayim. Hilvava Sadeyu, Hainu Shamalve Omer Kane. The lender says this. He says, since it's the creditor saying it, it doesn't look like an asmachta. An asmachta is where the borrower says, I am willing to do anything in order to get the loan. Where the lender makes the stipulation, it's not so. You can see it. You can see the line there. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. And so the argument is brought in the Bris Yehuda that from this Chasam Sofer, maybe the argument will be it's only Ha'arama where it's the lender's stipulation, not where it's the borrower's stipulation. But I don't think that's what the Chasam Sofer was actually saying. The Chasam Sofer really was limiting it to Asmachta. But that's our second consideration, is this Ha'aramas Ribis. The third and last concern here is the Chavos Das's concern, which the Ziva Shalom quotes, and he says, that's really funny. Look at the Chavos Das, which I brought you in your Ches. He says, V'gam asvara nosenes kein, that you're not allowed to do this. Devada im omer al manas kenani malva oslash tischayev li beiza tanai sach kach vakach. He says, if you say I'm lending it to you on condition that you will owe me X if you don't pay by then. Kigon, but he not if you don't pay him by then, I'm sorry. Here's the tanai. Kigon, lechayerdu gishamin. When it rains, you owe me $100. Oh, im tasakach, or if you do such and such, then you owe me $100. V'atnayahu shava pruta. He says the condition itself is worth money. V'hum ischayev atzmo, but tanai zeh ba'agar natar. And that's why he says, I'm not going to demand it from you one time, and the borrower says, I'm going to pay you this. The whole point is the extension of time. Deribis kitsutsu. He says, that's ribis kitsutsu. This is bona fide ribis. You follow what he's saying? It's a brilliant argument. The Nesiv HaShem doesn't like it.
It's against the Mishnah.
Well, not forget being against the Mishnah. We're going to deal with that. Does that mean that you can't make any conditions whatsoever now in a loan? In other words, let me state outside what he's saying. He's saying, let's say I borrow money from Jeffrey, right? And the loan is, I'm going to borrow $1,000 from you. And with a condition that in the event that I go to New York, I'm going to pay you $1,100 instead of $1,000. Right? So aside from the fact that this is clearly a way just to pay Ribbis, which is found another way to trigger it, that condition itself is worth money. You would pay money in order to get me to agree to a condition like that, because it's going to, in the end, profit you. Right? So Chavis Das argues that I have now given the lender something of value just by agreeing to this condition. Even if you call the condition a penalty and not harachat zman, nonetheless, that in of itself is worth something. I'm now giving him back $1,000 plus the value of this condition. But the Nesiv HaShalom, it's in Kufayin Zayin Yudalit, it's in Ha'ara Chaf Aleph at the bottom of the page. He says, does that mean the Malba can't make any conditions whatsoever in the deal? That sounds very strange. He uses it, the Chavis Das uses it.
It's definitely not a time condition.
Correct.
That's the key to this.
No, because it doesn't matter if it's a time condition or not. Now, it's simply a way for the lender to get back more than he lent out. That's all it is. Just the fact that I agreed to the condition, even if the condition is never triggered, just the fact that I agreed to it gave him something. It's not an extension of time. This is true. But it's the reason why he lent me the money in the first place. It's even better.
Worse.
But that would be opposed to a condition.
It's worse.
Is it better or worse?
Halakhically bad. Yeah. Sorry, Jeffrey?
Okay, so there has to be no monetary value. So in other words, I say, I'll lend you the money so long as you stay in Canada and don't...
Right. It has to be something that makes no sense to connect to any... there's no incentive to the lender to lend money because I made this condition. The lender doesn't care whether I stay in Canada. Unless he's concerned about me, running off.
Collect.
If he's concerned about me absconding, then maybe this does have value. Yeah. I agreed to be bound by this area. No, but it does.
At the end of the day,
he will lend me more because of this agreement. It does have monetary value to him.
But what kind of
conditions could a...
If you jump up and down.
But if
it has no relevance to me. It's completely meaningless.
But if you abscond,
yeah,
and you do abscond, so you're not getting it anyway. It doesn't make any sense.
The point isn't that. The point is that the agreement to such a condition has value to the lender. I want to make sure to go by there.
Because you're saying it has value, and that because if I abscond. But if I have gone, you're not going to get anything.
Well, I will. No, the lender will get it. He'll just have to work harder to get it.
Well, okay, but he will. Okay.
He will get it. So it is also worth noting, and this is what the Chavis Das notes, that Tosfos seems not to support the whole idea of Derech Knas. He's discussing a case of the forfeited Mashkon, right, where I say that, if I don't pay you within 3 years, then you get to keep the Mashkon no matter what it's worth. So Tosfos asks, why does that work? And he gives you an interesting explanation in Source Yates. That's a side point. The borrower could have sold the over and above value of the collateral, right, and kept that, whatever is not against the milva, against the loan. Ukshameniach lo kula, but instead he leaves the whole thing for the malva. Eino osa mishum ribis. It's not ribis he's doing. Ela milsa ba'alma hu da'avad. He's just doing something nice for him. Shemacha lo bechinam, forgiving because he forgave the debt. So the point is that the message that Tosfos gives is the reason why this is good is because your decision to let him have the whole mashkon is not payment for it's not ribis in it. It's just you being a nice guy. That's what it is. So why didn't Tosfos give the I don't really know what he means when he says that. I don't understand Tosfos' answer, but what I do understand is that he's not saying it's derech knas.
But why isn't this ribis?
Sorry? Yeah, I don't know why it's not ribis mucheris. The whole thing is very perplexing. I don't understand Tosfos. But I do understand that he's not invoking knas. So Chavos Das quotes this and says, yeah, you know why? Because knas doesn't work. Because you're giving the lender something of value. So as a result, there are those who prohibit derech knas. The Rashba doesn't like it. The Machaber we saw didn't like it. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Mem Zayin doesn't like it. The Chavos Das doesn't like it. Although there will be cases of leniency. But now we have to come back to the question that Rabbi Zirin fed into before and say, so then what do you do with your Mishnah in our Perek? What do you do with Baba Basra or Kufsa Machas? What do you do with Ksuvos? Right? In all those cases, it sounded like it. So in terms of our Mishnah, there are numerous answers that are offered. You could go with the implication for our mission of the Chasam Sofer, that we said before, that the permission is okay where the condition originates with the borrower versus where it originates with the lender. I'm sorry, where it originates with the lender. Maybe then it's going to be okay. But there are other answers that are offered. Some of them bizarre. So let's see the bizarre first. The Rashba in his Chidushim on our Gemara in Bav Metzia, right, the one that's Samach Bav, where I already quoted you a piece of it before. So look at what he says. We already quoted the beginning of it. Source Chaf. We already quoted the beginning of it, so I'm going to skip. The Elamihu in the second line. The Elamihu kilt fe me'avak ribis. It's more lenient than avak ribis. The alkein shan uha stam lahatir b'mishnah seinu b'mishnas get pashur. That's why they just said mutter. In our Mishnah, as well as the Mishnah of Bava Basra, Uklalan Kulan Rabbi Gamliel b'Mishnah Seinu Ribis Mukdemes Ribis Mucheres. The whole set of Mishnahs at the end of our Perek that Rabbi Gamliel has, Ribis Mukdemes is very lenient, Ribis Mucheres is very lenient, and Rabbi Shimon who says this Ribis Devarim, I added the words in brackets. Klomar B'Sugei Ribis Hayoser Kalim. It's included with the other Ribis light categories. We didn't really mean mutter.
I can't remember the last time I had a sugya where I've been so convinced that a position not accepted by Shulchan Aruch. Like, the Rivi guy is so much better.
Yeah, well, you'll wait and see where he goes, and you'll see why. But that's the Rashba here. There's a better Rashba, a more logical Rashba in Chavalah, in which he says, "Masnisa nami deperkezu neshach de kavasahi shehi shchuna." He's about the mashkam. It's shchuna, meaning it's residing with the malvin. It's already in his position, in his possession. Because we're talking about helvawa sadehu, you lent against the field. Velo mesalkina lemine. And so the Rashba explains, and this is the key, it's not about collecting this from the borrower to give it to the lender. That you would not do. However, the lender already has it. And remember what we said back in the beginning of our ribis shiurim, if you're not dealing with ribis kitsutsa, then you don't remove it from the lender. The lender already has it. The borrower already paid it. He gets to keep it. So what's happening here is a bidiyavid, because it's already in the possession of the lender. We're going to have to come back to that. That's not clear cut, but that's where it is right now. The Rivash gives me a different answer. The Rivash dealt with a case of ribis that was not from a halva. It was actually involving a transaction, a financial transaction, a sale. We're going to have to come to the case later on. But he challenges the Rashba, who doesn't like this as haramas ribis, in source of base. And he ends up saying, let me read his question. I'm bothered by this Rashba. The case of lending against the mashkon and then forgiving the mashkon entirely to him. He says, of course you can do that. It was in our Mishnah. It said, can't you read? Baitos ben Zonin did this on a daily basis for all we know. But you could say for him, that came into lo mitzvah lepnei haramas ribis, since it's only an issue of ha'arama. Came into lo shakil zuze besof lo michzei ha'arama, since no money changes hands at the end, it doesn't look like ha'arama. It's just a forgiving of the collateral. That's all it is. Ha'arama ukshinos in mos, and makabal mos yosim imashil vahu. Ha'arama means where you actually get more back than you lent. It doesn't look like ribis, because the mashkon doesn't change hands.
Just a bigger harama.
Well, the thing is, it's a more successful harama. It's a more successful harama. What will happen now is, I want to borrow money from you, right? So I borrow $10,000 from you, and I say, here's my collateral, which happens to be worth $15,000. And our plan all along is, at the end of the loan, I'm simply going to default, you're going to take the collateral, and that's that. And no one will be any the wiser. That's the idea. It doesn't look like it.
So the Rivash isn't talking about a case where you intend to do it. Right? He's just saying that if you did it, it wouldn't even look like Rivas. But the Rivash isn't weighing in on whether, at this point, whether you can do it as a plan to pay extra. He's just saying that in this case, correct. Won't even have a Ramas Rivas.
Right, but therefore, because the Rivash writes this, I am going to go out and do this. Meaning this is my way now of dealing with Rivas problems and being able to borrow money.
Again, assuming the Rivash would be okay with it.
Correct. Correct. Which he is. The other heter, so to speak, or the other way to explain why our Mishnah is okay with it if it's really a Haramas Rivas problem, is the Taras Emes. The Taras Emes says it's because it wasn't done at the time of the Halva. The Taras Emes, Rav Sasson, we talked about in Kuf Samach, he has Kuf Samach and he has Kuf Samach Beis. So he says, Gam Hashavti Lomer, Disfir Leila Harash Bazal, Dimada'as HaBaitus HaPi Chachamim Lo Haya Bish'as HaHalva. What Baitus did that the Chacham approved was not to make this a condition at the time of the loan. Rak Achar Kach, it would happen later on. In other words, the loan's already been extended. There are no conditions, there are no penalties, there are no extensions, no nothing.
The mashkin was given at the beginning?
Yeah, the mashkin was given at the beginning. And then later on, he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to pay you on time, just keep the mashkin. So because it wasn't bishas halva, it's going to be okay. Now, why that's true, we have to come back to. But right now, what we're seeing is everybody is wrestling with the problem of baitus benzonin. So we get multiple answers. The Rashba says it didn't really mean mutter. That's in the Chidushim. He doesn't explain what to do with Baitos Benzonin. The Rashba in the Miuchasos in Reish Chaf Aleph says the answer is because Mashkon is different because it's now an issue of removing it b'dieved. He already has it. The lender is already holding it. That's the reason why it's mutter in this case. It wouldn't be mutter in general, but the lender already possesses it. That's what makes it okay. The Rivash gives me another answer to say the mashkon doesn't change hands. Therefore, it doesn't look like Rivas. And the Taras Emes says it's okay because it wasn't arranged at the time of the halva. Those are my basic heterim.
But in the agreement of this mortgage, where you have security, it's clear that I can't take it now. It's in my possession, but the agreement is that's not my really mine because I can't take it till the future.
Right.
So it is.
No, the issue is that the loan. When we talk about why not arranging it at the time of the halva works, you'll see what I mean. We have to see that.
His Tosfos said he can sell it to somebody else.
Tosfos had this other idea in general, and I don't.
Even though it's in his possession, I could.
Tosfos wasn't talking about Derech Knas.
No, you still have to pay.
Tosfos is not talking about Derech Knas.
He says he pays back the loan and keeps the rest.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so there would be.
But the buyer, the assignee.
So possession doesn't mean that.
Yes, he has to still deal with that.
Yes. What about the Gemara Bava Basra, the case of erasing the earlier payments? We'll just pretend those never happened. So again, the Rashba in his Chidushim says it's even more lenient than a Bak Ribbis, and the Mishnah said Mutter, but it didn't really mean it. Or in the case in Bava Basra, he says, well, it just dealt with Asmachta, didn't even deal with the Ribbis issue. The Rashba in the Miuchasos in Reish Chaf Aleph says, again, it's a case of Bidiyevet after the Ribbis has been paid. Right? The earlier payment was already given, and therefore it's going to work. Now, the question now is, we've called this Haramas Rivas, right? So, because it's Haramas Rivas, I said before, there are leniencies. There are things you can do to be more lenient because it's Haramas Rivas. Specifically, we have four leniencies. We're going to start on the four leniencies, and then we'll have to stop. And then I think what I'll do, if it works for everybody, is I'll just give Shir on Monday, record audio for those who can't make it to a Monday Shir, and send out the link. What's the thing we did last time?
What time would it be on Monday?
11:30? I don't need an hour. Let's say we did 12. 12?
12
o'clock on Monday.
Okay. That's what we did last time.
Yeah. All right. So I think I'll do that. And, yeah, I understand that everybody can make it. It'll be here. Yeah, 12 o'clock Monday, God willing. Okay, but let's start on the leniencies at any rate. We may be lenient when forgiving a mashkon. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. If you take a look, I brought you the Shulchan Aruch in Kufayin Zayin Yud Zayin. He actually deals with this precise case. Source Chavdalet Hamal v'al mashkon v'amar im lo abden l'zman ploni yeshalcha kol sheshava yoser alachov. Right, here you go. You get to keep it, including whatever is worth more than the debt. Yesh misha oser mishum haramas ribis. There are those who prohibit. Unlike what he said in Yud Dalet, right back in Source Yud, where he said flat, Asur Mibnei HaRamaz Ribis. It wasn't a Yesh Misha Omer. Here he doesn't say that. Why? Because there are, in fact, leniencies. Why does forgiving a mashkon work? This is leniency number one. Why does leniency number one work? So the Shach says it's lenient because it wasn't set at the time of the halva. Exactly the point that we made before. That's what the Shach says here. It's the Shach in Sif Kadam Lamed Dalet. I brought it for you in Source Chaf Hey. He quotes the Orchos Chaim, "The davka bishas ha-halva aser lasas ken lachatchila, aval im hilvo kvar al amashkon, ve'ata omer im lo praticha yamashkon me'ashav shalcha muter." If it was done around this mashkon, it's fine. The reason why it works, according to the Shach, is because it wasn't set at the time of the halva. So Nesiva Shalom in Kufayin Zayin Yud Zayin Gimel notes that this is odd. If the deal is me'achshav, really? And this is like a Jerry type of a question. If the deal is me'achshav, which is what the Shach said, then claiming the knas will actually convert the whole thing from a loan into a sale. Right? Let's say I default. Right? I didn't pay on time. I didn't default. I didn't pay on time. So Jerry takes the collateral. So now what it really means is he bought the collateral from me. That's what happened. He bought a $1,500 field for me for $1,000. And it was a delayed delivery of the goods. That's the Nesiva Shalom's question. He says, I don't really understand why this is even a conversation at that point. I think it's still a conversation because fundamentally you agreed to a loan with a benefit for the malva, like we talked about in Sa'a B'Sa'a, where we said in order for this to work, you need to know why what you're doing is allowed, that the guy possesses some of the stuff, or that he could buy it, the Yatzashah, or whatever it was. We required knowledge, so maybe that's why this is still a problem. I thought it was an interesting point from the Nesiva Shalom. The Bris Yehuda notes, though, the Bris Yehuda is in Dalet Ha'arayud, he notes that the language of the Shach here, or the language that we're using here, is not mashkon specific. In other words, the idea of the heter being, I didn't do this at the time of the loan, that's why mashkon works, isn't about mashkon. That's true any time. If Yaron lends me $1,000, and then later on, during the period of the loan, I say, I'm not going to be able to pay you back on time. So he says, well, in that case, I'm going to want you to pay me a penalty of $100. And I say, yes. That's also shalom b'shas halva. It isn't tied to being mashkon. It's really a separate leniency. You follow? It's not really about mashkon. Interestingly, though, Shulchan Aruch HaRav only uses this heter regarding mashkon. He won't use it elsewhere. Even though, really, it should be a greater leniency, which we're going to come to next. But the Shach has a different explanation also for why mashkon works. And I brought it for you in Source Chavav. V'ula yesh l'chalek bin mashkon desadeh l'metalteli. Maybe we should distinguish between land and movables. Meaning, we've discussed this before regarding onah. Right? There is no set value for land. So therefore, when I forgive the mashkon, when I say, just forget it, take the whole field, it's not so clear this is ribis. Maybe it really is worth $1,500. Maybe it's worth $1,500 because you figure he's going to use it for all these years to come. Maybe it's worth $1,500 to him. Land is so vague in terms of its value, right? Big Ali. Yeah, exactly. To say that, they, just like there's no na'ah for land?
No, for now, we're source, like in the says it's not.
Yeah, but we also gave logic for it, right? Because we asked the question of why there shouldn't be, because after all, the psukeo na'ah are regarding land, the hal ramban. We said that there's a logic to it regarding land. It isn't only gzeirat ha'katuv, it's also that there's a logic to excluding land, and the same logic will apply here, and that seems to be the approach of the Shach here, and that would explain why Mashkon town specifically of land is okay for this, but not necessarily other things. So one of the leniencies that we offer is the idea that mashkon, and particularly mashkon of land perhaps, is special. We're going to see three other leniencies, God willing, and then we'll deal with the question of what if you have multiple deadlines with new fines along the way, which sure looks like interest payments at that point, and for sure I would have said usher, except that we have a document signed by the Rime Orleans saying that it's okay. So we have to, with that, God willing, at 12 o'clock on Monday. Shkach.